Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
So I had, I was juggling a few things that, and I was just like listening through sermons, and I feel like personally I'm a bit of a, I do a bit of a like a, you know, performance-based thing, and I'll have a few bullet points and I'll just talk it as I'm going. But this time I felt like God was really prompting me to talk, prepare, read, and present. It wasn't a performance-based thing. So it's quite new for me. And well, we'll see how it goes. But so I just wanted to share a bit of my journey and a bit of my journey this year. And I love the titles and all that stuff. So, you know, we all watch a bit of series and things. So I thought I'll call it a series, A Journey of Extraordinary Men. If you can have the slide up, please. And you all are wondering, extraordinary man, we know Jesus, but here's a twist. Slide two is a main part. It's actually a story of an ordinary man, and that's just me. So I broke it down into four sort of like episodes, but don't worry, we won't be here for too long. I'll try and get through them within 10, 15 minutes. So, okay, well, we ready to binge watch? Cool. All right, so episode one, next slide, is the background. And the background is basically this, that at the end of last year, 2022, my wife and I, we were in a place where, we were in a happy place. We were kicking goals at work and everything, but we felt there was something missing. I remember Pastor Alex talking about how many people can stand and say that there's been a regular and committed devotions going at home. And we didn't realize when it actually slipped out of our daily time. And we had a young baby and stuff. We have a young baby and she's lovely. We spend time with her and we love it. But we just were missing God so much and in our lives. So what was going on was, you know the passage, 2 Chronicles, where it talks about, you know, eyes of God is going to and fro, and ranging to and fro, looking for people to strengthen them who are totally devoted, committed. We wanted to be those people. We wanted to seek Him. So we started doing something about it, right? And we were like, we started setting our alarms at 6 a.m. in the morning. I had a friend ring me 6 o'clock in the morning and he would say, "Wake up, time to pray." And I was like, "Shut up." No, I'm sorry. I was like, no. Well, first week. Second week, I was like, thank you. And I'm cool. And then he was like, "You sound sleepy, wake up." Anyway, it kept going on. And it was really good. Some important ideas were thrown around. Some important decisions were right in front of us, where we were like, if you want to follow God, what's the price what's something that we need to lay down? And my wife, if you know her, she's just like, I'm a 100-mile person. She's like a 1,000-mile person. So she's like, let's just sell everything. Let's just do it. And I'm like, calm down. And so one of the things that we sort of prayed in that time, God, is it you or feelings? We didn't want to make a decision if it wasn't led by God Himself. And we prayed that prayer to take the feelings away, so all that remains is you and your voice. Episode 2. We're going, all right, next slide. The peak. My wife did a great job with these slides. I told her what I wanted. The peak is the happy time for us. That's a wave. I couldn't get it, but an architect can see it. The peak of the wave, where we were seeking God, 6 a.m. in the morning, we were seeking God. We felt happy. We felt something was happening. Something was birthing in us. We both used to get a sticker each if we had spent half an hour on our knees or with God, right? Without distractions. This is not time in the car, not time over the phone or anything. It was time where your phone was away, your Netflix was off, everything was off, just you and God. We were quite motivated. And trust me, we were noticed. We were in the days of Psalms 9. Everyone say Psalms 9. I'm thanking you, God, from a full heart. I'm writing the book on wonders. I'm whistling, I'm laughing, I'm jumping for joy. I'm singing your song, High God. Pretty cool place to be in. You took over, set everything right. When I need you, you were there, taking charge. This is how it ends, sort of. Taking charge, you were right there. Well, fast forward to a couple of more months, and I had to turn the page. From Psalms 9 to Psalms 10. First thing in Psalms 10. God, are you avoiding me? Where are you when I need you? From Psalms 9, where it says, when I need you, you were here taking charge, to God, are you avoiding me? Where are you? Episode 3. The trough. The low point. A couple of months ago, I came to a place where I had to confess to God that I'm not feeling God. My prayers were dry. My walk was particularly not seeing any miracles. I couldn't answer from the bottom of my heart, where is God? I went into self-introspection and I kept asking me, is it the songs? Do I need a new playlist? Is it the books that I'm reading are not pointing me to the right direction? Is it my prayer or is it my sin? We both sat down, we talked about it, and to be honest, it was nothing of that sort. In fact, it was the first time ever that we could sit down, reflect, and say that there was no willful sin in us. But never had the voice of the enemy been so strong in my life, saying, where is your God? It was so demotivating, and I called my friends, told them to pray for me because I don't feel God. Next episode, I thank God that His light still shine on me. He showed me a way back to this thing where the friend I called, he came. His name is Taran. He actually came. He was like, I'm coming. I hear something in your voice. He came and we went for a walk. We didn't touch this topic, but what we did talk about was positioning yourself in prayer to God. I told him, I have a great book that I want to read a passage out of for you. And when I opened the book, instead of reading the chapter which was positioning yourself in prayer, I opened the chapter called Peaks and Troughs. Without knowing, I started reading that chapter, and that was God shining His light on me. That chapter explained me something from the book Screwtape Letters, and it said troughs and peaks are actually a natural phenomena. Some days we love our job, some other days we don't. Some days I love curry. The other days I don't even want to smell it. Feeling dry is not an aimless season, but one that is the most useful time. Defining moment in your Christian walk. God relies on these troughs. A season of dryness more than a season when you're feeling Him. To make you into a perfect image of Himself. this process is so essential. This is the time where the servants become sons. And they finally carry out the will of God, not because He wants them to, but because they want to. Psalms is full of stories of legends like this David, who persevered through extended troughs to truly grow in Christ, where their will truly became His will after all. See, when the sweetness of emotions, where you're feeling all high, is withdrawn, that's where the will to walk is a, and choice to believe comes in. As long as there's willingness to walk, He is still even pleased in our stumbles. Hence the prayers that we offer in that state of dryness are the ones that move Him the best. And trust me, it was the greatest slap on the enemy's face. If you're in that place of dryness and battling enemy's voice asking you, where is your God? Then I want you to know that He's right here. He's more focused on your growing now than He was ever before. All training wheels are off so that you can start to walk, finally becoming who He really wants you to be by your own will, not because He wants you to. Well, He does, fully. Now, as I invite Natalie to talk about the second cool, joyful time, I just wanted to leave you with this verse. If you're in that place of dryness, Psalms is full of that, right? Lament prayers are the part of that. Depression to delight. I'm hurting, Lord. Will You forget me forever? How much longer, Lord? Will You look the other way when I'm in need? How much longer must I cling to this constant grief? I have endured this shaking of my soul. But I love the way it ends in hope. I've always trusted in Your kindness. So answer me. I will spin in circles of joy when Your salvation lifts me up. I will lift up the song of joy, Yahweh. For in all of this, You have strengthened my soul. My enemies say, I have no savior. Remember the voice asking you, where is your God? But I know that I have one in You, my God. Thank you all.
That was so beautiful, Raghav. I really can recognize those times of dry seasons where I'm not dreaming, I'm not hearing, and I'm like, Lord, are You still there? And, you know, you still go through ups and downs in life, and when you don't hear from Him, it does get really hard. But that's just a beautiful testimony of how the Lord is growing us all the time. You just put the slide on for me, Kat. Thank you. So, we're going to go into a time of rejoicing. Do you like that? Yeah. And I want to talk about God's great reset, because because it is God's. This is God's world. This is His creation. We are His creation. And there is nothing, God always comes first. The enemy always wants to just copy what God is doing. So it's not, the reset is not the great reset that the globalists want, right? It's not about one world order and you will own nothing and you're going to be happy, right? God has a plan, and His great reset is called the Jubilee. Woohoo! Woo-woo! It's a Jubilee. It is Jubilee. Next slide, please. Woohoo! That's it. What is a Jubilee year? Well, in the Old Testament, there were times and seasons. There's a Jewish calendar. And the 50th year on the Jewish calendar was typically the Jubilee year, okay? And the cycles in the calendar went through a seven-year cycles. And seven times seven, once you got to 49, you knew that the next year would be the Jubilee year. Now, there's some speculation that the Jubilee year is actually this year, 2023. We don't know 100% sure. We're not 100% sure because the documents were destroyed in the fire, in the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. But there is a lot of speculation to say that it is actually this year. And so what is Jubilee year? What was the 50th year for the Jewish people? It was a year of redemption to redeem and restore. And what that meant was that on the 50th year, the Jewish people would go back to their homeland, to their actual lands of their heritage, and they would claim back their lands. So you see, there were times where sometimes they would have to sell their land because they were in debt. And so they would sell part of their land, but on the 50th year, they would come back and reclaim that land. Is part of the Jewish law to reclaim that land. So land inheritance was restored. And then captives were set free. So if you were in these years, you had to sell yourself for debt to slavery, then you were set free from slavery on the year of Jubilee. So imagine this is the year of Jubilee, right? Wow. So it was also a year of rest and worship to God. So it was a year where the land rested as well as the people rested. And so it was a great year of rejoicing for the Jewish people. So God's vision was to interrupt the status quo. It was the reset. Every 50th year was the reset. So if you just want to go to the next slide. Okay, national restoration. So this is from Isaiah 61, verse 1, and it reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give the beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified, and they shall rebuild the old ruins." Amen. Liberty to the captives. When Jesus came, and it was foretold that he was going to come to restore, to redeem us who were in sin, to restore a relationship with the Heavenly Father. And he did that spiritually, in the spirit. He set us free. He redeemed us from our own sin so that we could step into a relationship with the Father. But at the time, the Jewish people were really looking for a deliverer from the Romans because they were under a heavy persecution. They wanted their land to be restored to them. And from a lot of the prophetic words was actually talked about the lands being restored. So that's what they were thinking about. That's what they were looking for. But the Lord Jesus came as the great Jubilee, and he set us free from our sin spiritually. Praise God. So next slide, please. then we move on to, you know, Jesus' return, end time restoration. Peter said this, therefore, this is in Acts 3, repent, therefore, and be converted from your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord and that he may send Jesus Christ who preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So he's talking about the restoration of his people, the second coming, that the Messiah will return. And when he returns, that's great jubilee because he's going to take over the world systems. It's going to be his way. I mean, it's going to be his government, right? When he's here, amen. And it's going to be a complete reset for those that are in him, in the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just land. In the Bible, many times, the Lord talks about land being our inheritance for his people. You know, that is his gift to his people, a place that they can dwell. And you see that time and time again, how important land is. Just go to the next slide, please. So I want to bring in a bit of my testimony to talk about the Jubilee and the Jubilee year and land, because I think it's really important that we lay claim to this land for his glory. So the Lord this year gave me this verse, Leviticus 25:19. Then the land will yield its fruit and you will eat your fill and dwell there in safety. It is time for us to rise up. It is time for us to lay claim to this land for his glory. He is working and he is moving right now. He is making a way for us to retake the land for his glory. Believe it. And I want to show you, to share with you a testimony of what's happened to me. Next slide, please. The waiting. Who's been in a waiting season? Many people, yeah. Yeah, and it's a great time of real growth. And I think a lot of you may know, I've shared before, the Lord spoke to me in 2021, beginning of 2021 or end of 2020, to sell my home. And I didn't listen to him. And then he basically told me time and time again until it was an urgent matter for him. And he sent me a dream. And the next week, my house was on the market. So it was a tough thing for me to let go of that house because it was a time where I bought this house on my own. I was a single parent with two kids. And I did it in my own strength. And I took a lot of pride in doing it on my own strength. But I did it without God. I did it without God. I wasn't walking with him. So in 2023, I came to a point where I knew I had to get back into a house. The Lord, I knew it was time to start looking and to reinvest. And I said, Lord, I want to do this with you this time. I don't want to do it on my own. I let go of all the material things and I want this house to be dedicated to you. The type of house I want is something that has a granny flat at the back so that I could Airbnb it and then also have it for later when my mum, you know, needed to be supported at home and she could come and live with me. So that was the great dream. That was what I was praying for. And I thought, oh, it'd be great if the house was big enough so I could host people and have the church over at my house and just have it as a house dedicated to you. So Lord, let's do this together, I said. And so I started walking this journey and purchasing this home. And my Saturdays were starting to get filled up with looking at houses, and I put offers down for four homes, and one of them was an auction. But out of the four, I could have actually offered more. I went in there, and I gave them an offer, And every time I did not hear from the Lord. I didn't hear from him. I didn't hear that he said, yes, you know, go for it, offer them this. And so then I thought, oh Lord, you know, I really started to love some of these homes, and it was really hard to let go. But because he hadn't spoken, I dare not offer more. And the last, and even to the last one, the fourth, the very last one, I really love this home, even though it didn't tick all my boxes. Because, you know, when you go down that journey, you start to say, oh, okay, I wanted four bedrooms and I wanted a granny flat, but okay, maybe four bedrooms is enough, or maybe three bedroom might be enough. You know, it's close to Sophie's school, my daughter's school. That'll be great. But no, he didn't speak to me. He didn't speak to me until... So I had to let it go. Until my girlfriend... Then, actually, if you want to go to the next slide, he speaks. Yeah, he starts to speak. Woohoo! Isn't so good? So he speaks. So my girlfriend from Queensland came down, and I gave up my room, and she slept in my bedroom, and she wakes up the next day, and she says, oh, Natalie, have you been looking at houses in this bed? Because I had a dream of you looking for houses. And I go, yes. And she told me that she saw me looking for houses in my price range, but that God was saying to look above your price range. And I knew that God, this was a dream from God, because the range that she mentions was exactly what I could afford. It was exactly almost to the cent. So I knew God was on it, and she didn't know that. So I said, okay, all right, well, I'm going to do this with you, Lord. So I'm going to look above. I'm not going to look in the natural. I'm going to look above. And so that week I booked myself in to see a house in Frankston. It was $150,000 above my budget. But I said, hey, God, you know, you're talking about looking above, so I'm going to look above. And so I booked it in. That morning I had a dream. I love it when the Lord gives you dreams, hey? So I had a dream that morning, early morning, and what he showed me was I was in this house, and I was in the bedroom, and I could hear my friend Erin from the women's group. She was in the kitchen, and so cleaning. And so I thought I'd get up and help her clean, because I felt a bit bad being in the bedroom. So I went there, and I saw wallpaper all over. And I felt like I needed to pull away the wallpaper, which I did. And underneath were these tiles. And I turned around the tile, and underneath the tile was scripture. And when I looked at the scripture, I couldn't recognize the writing, but I knew it said, Jesus is Lord. And I said, wow. And I remember thinking, the owners must have been Christian. Like, this house is dedicated to the Lord. And the next scene, I'm in the living room with the owners, and I'm looking around thinking, oh, I need to rent, it's kind of old, I need to do some restoring here. And I remember saying to the owners in the room while we're negotiating, I said, are you the original owners? And they said, no, we've owned the house for 3 years. Anyway, so I go and see this house that I couldn't afford in Frankston, close to my daughter's school. And it's lovely. It's not really my style, but it's lovely. And it's got a studio out the back. So no bathroom, just a one room and four bedrooms. And I asked the agent, are the owners Christian? And he goes, he looks at me like, wouldn't know that the answer to that question. But then afterwards, he comes back and he calls me and he says, the owner's father was a minister. His brother was a minister, and all their siblings were missionaries. And I thought, wow, Lord, this is the house. This is the house you've got for me. Oh my goodness, this is the house. I don't know what the second part of the dream meant, 3 years only living in, owning this house, but this must be the house. So I got really excited. I thought, Lord, this is it. We're onto something here. I'm really excited. Meanwhile, there was another house. There was another house on Jubilee Ave in Seaford. And and it was perfect. It was actually totally what I'd wanted. It had a granny flat in the back with, you know, a proper kitchen, a proper bedroom, separate bathroom. It was just beautiful. But I didn't want to look at it because the Lord was speaking about this Frankston house. So I'm like, no, I'm not going to even look at it. Then my sister sends me a link just to remind me. Say, hey, you better go check out this house. It's on auction the next week. And so on that Saturday, the Saturday before the auction, I drove and I took my mother to go see the Frankston house, the house that God had for us. But on the way, we dropped into Jubilee Avenue in Seaford. And as we're walking into this house, my mum's looking at this house, and normally she's been to every single house we went. We've been on this massive journey and she hasn't liked it. She hasn't said anything good. But she goes into the granny flat at the back and she's sitting there and she's just looking around and she's saying, she's imagining herself in the house. And she goes, I like this, I like that, I like this and I like that and I really like this. And I said, God, no, oh no, it's the wrong house. She's falling in love with the wrong house. This is a disaster. What am I going to do, God? What are we going to do? Anyway, and so we go to the other house and she says, oh, house is too dark. It's too expensive. And that's pretty much it. And I thought, oh, Lord, that's it. I've blown it. We've blown it. You know, that's it. She doesn't like it. Then during the week before the house auction, on the Wednesday, I went to work. I work at Street Peace, which is an at-risk youth program in Frankston. And one of the ladies there mentions, oh, Natalie, I had a dream about you. You were managing an Airbnb and you were so busy managing this Airbnb. And I'm like, oh, okay, wow. That's got to be God. And so I started to look at the two houses and said, well, the Frankston one, I can't Airbnb, but the Seaford Jubilee one, I could. God, are you talking about this house? Is this the house you're talking about? Oh my goodness, I have to go to the auction. And then the next day, the Lord starts highlighting a few things. He highlights numbers to me. Numbers start to highlight because I was praying, Lord, you have to tell me if this is it because, you know, I thought it was this other house. And then I realized that I live, my current residence is number 19. And the Jubilee house is 19. And where I work in Frankston is on a 19 as well. So there was three 19s. And I'm like, okay, so the house I live in is 19. The house I'm going to live in is 19. And the place where I work is 19. What's going on? And then I remembered Pastor Mark from Frankston Life. He mentioned, just a thought came into my head, the word Jubilee, and his old church in Frankston used to be called Jubilee. So all these things started to pop up. And then the Lord reminded me about the second part of the dream, which I dismissed. If you can go to the next slide, please. God's into the detail. That second part, I'm like, what is that? 3 years? I don't understand. And he reminded me about that the owners only owned it for 3 years. And so I went back to look at the history of the house. And sure enough, the owners only owned it for 3 years. And then I knew. Then I knew that the Lord was speaking about this house. And I said, Lord, this is it, isn't it? Like, Saturday, I just knew before going in, and I had all of the ladies praying. So many people prayed. So many people spoke into this, and I had the ladies come to pray as the auction was going, and the Holy Spirit just took over my mouth, and I've never done an auction before. And then there was two bidders, myself and another person, and that person reached my limit. He reached my limit and I'm like, oh my goodness. And then they started to call it. I looked at my mum and I said, can we offer another $2,000? And so I put in a $2,500 offer. And then they started to call it. And the ladies behind me started to pray in tongues. And honestly, as they were praying in tongues, it stopped the bidding. It totally stopped the bidding. Totally. And thank you, Jesus. Glory, Jubilee. And at the end of the auction, and when once we, both seller and buyer came together rejoicing, we hugged each other and congratulated each other and celebrated with one another. And the agent said, in all my years, I've never seen seller and buyer congratulating one another like this at an auction. And I just thought, well, it's Jubilee. It's Jubilee. It's Jesus. It's Jesus right now. So he is the Redeemer. He totally, next slide. So this is my old house in Seaford, which I bought with the flesh, you know. I bought in my own pride, which I let go. And then this is the Jubilee house this year, which I bought with the Lord. You know, I held back. Look, can you see how similar? But this one here is double the size, has two homes, you know. It has a place for my mum when she gets really old. He just totally blessed me, totally blessed me. And then the next slide is, so that's the beautiful family that I bought the house from. And there's Charlie, who originally owned the house. He's a very well-known local, Charlie, but he's now passed away. And that's the house. So so the next slide, please. So I want to really thank the Lord. Obviously, the Lord is our great restorer and redeemer. I want you to be encouraged that when you step out and you, you know, you just wait on him. You wait on him. You be obedient. He will give you more than what you hoped and dreamed for. He gave me exactly what I asked, but so much more. And I want to say that, yes, it's important that, you know, we first seek him in the secret place, but also we must be a praying body together, because in Colossians 2, verse 2, it says that their hearts may be encouraged, being knitted together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, we need to be praying for one another. We must be praying for one another and encouraging one another, knitted together in love. Because if the praying body hadn't been praying for me, if they hadn't confirmed through their own walk, the confirmations of others actually got me to focus away from what I, you know, the distraction of this other house to the right house that the Lord asked, you know, was wanting for me. If it wasn't for the praying body, I would not have bought this house. All right. So we must pray for one another. And it says this, once we do, being knitted together in love, we will have the full assurance of understanding. We will have the knowledge of the mystery of God, that we will know what is hidden in the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We cannot have just one. We can't have a secret place on always. We must have secret place and the body together. It's not one or the other. It is together. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we have the body, that we are knitted together in love, that we build each other up, and that we know your wisdom and all of your knowledge. I just want to pray for those here tonight. I want to impart blessing over you, those that are looking to buy or sell, Christians that are looking to buy and sell, that are wanting to dedicate the land to the Lord. Is there anyone here that is buying and selling? Yep. Awesome. Who else is buying and selling? Over here? Yep. We've got three here. Anyone over here at the back? There's a few. Can you just raise your hand? Can you just stand up? Be bold and stand up right now, because we're going to pray for you. We're going to be a praying church. We're going to pray for blessing over you. All right. If you could just extend your hands to those that are standing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I declare jubilee in the lives of those here. All of us, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I declare a blessing. I declare your abundance, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that you are speaking clearly, that those that are standing right now that are looking for properties to glorify you, to dedicate to you, Lord Jesus, that are buying and selling, Father God, that there is abundance, there is favor over them, Lord Jesus, right now in Jesus' mighty name, that there is favor, Father God, and that you are speaking to them, and you will make it super clear that you are speaking about these properties, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you are going to deliver more, much more than what they're asking for. But you know their heart's desires, and you know what they're going to do, Lord Jesus, Father God. So I just impart this blessing onto everyone here, Lord Jesus. Those that are going to glorify you, they're going to dedicate their lands to the Lord, Lord Jesus. I declare a great jubilee in the land here, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Just I pray blessing and abundance, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are working and you are moving in this area of investment, of finances, of land, Lord, that you are restoring the lands back to your people, Lord Jesus, more and more, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's Jubilee. It's Jubilee. Come on, it's Jubilee. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm just going to welcome up Pastor Alex. And he's going to continue the Jubilee.
So good. Can we give it up for Natalie and for Raghav as well? It is the year of Jubilee. Christian leaders have deemed this year as a year of Jubilee. And on a personal note, as Nat mentioned, you know, there could be Jubilee within your own spirit. There's people, as I mentioned earlier, that you perhaps don't know the love of God. Not yet anyway, but you will soon. And this past Thursday, as we stepped into the retirement home or the aged care home just down the road from here, we had the first guy who came into the lounge area, and we asked him, are you here for the church service? He goes, oh, I'm just here for the numbers to just fill out the space and help you guys out. Just such a nice guy. And there was 10 people in attendance, and I preached that word that you don't have to be alone, that God can be with you. But if we're honest, our life is this short, and we are so close to eternity. And I don't know why I did this. I never ask anyone who's a family believer who gets their families, you hold hands when you pray for the food. I'm not that family. I know some of the people in this room are. And anyways, I'll go to these people at the aged care home. Let's just hold our hands in prayer as we receive Jesus today. And our friend who said, I'm just here to fill up the space. I see him try and grab the friend of on his right. Another old man, and you know the movie Grumpy Old Men? I kind of just peeked, and he reaches out his hand, his Viv, and then Keith goes, I'm not touching your hand. That was just the most hilarious thing. But then I see Viv just praying with all of his heart to receive Jesus. And I didn't know how many would rock up. I only had 5 gospel tracks, the Gospel of John. Thank you, Linda Harvey, who provided that. And I said, if you prayed this prayer and if you meant it from the bottom of your heart, please raise your hands and I'd love to give you the Gospel of John. Viv, who was just there to fill a space, raised his hand and he prayed to receive Jesus with 4 others. Amen. It's never too late. It's never too late, friends. And can I kindly suggest, don't wait until the end of your life to get right with God. You don't know when your time is up. The Bible says, make your election sure. Can I ask you an honest question today? If you died tonight, are you going to heaven? If you're unsure, God wants to make it completely 100% without any doubt at all that you will be with Him forever in eternity. And it's not just your ticket to heaven. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, Jesus talks about an enemy whose number one mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. But Jesus said, I come to give you life and life more abundant. We see the abundance of God in the last two people we just shared. We see the abundance of God in people who just walk out their life in Him. And the enemy's had his field day with you, friends. There's some in the room, you know, in your heart of hearts, you're not living for God. Perhaps you never asked God to forgive you of your sins. Perhaps you have, and you walked away. And God is now knocking on the door of your heart once again. You're not just here to fill a seat. You think you are, perhaps, because of an invitation by a friend. But God purposed it in eternity that He would see you here, 6:50 p.m., 6th of August, 2023, the year of Jubilee, sitting where you are, knowing that you now have a choice. And the Bible says, behold, I now present to you life or death. Now choose life so that you and your descendants may live. You have a choice now, friends. And with every eye closed and head bowed, can I ask, if that is you, if you need to get right with God, if you need to ask God to forgive you of all your sins and wash away everything that you've done wrong, whether you've done this before or you haven't, but you know in your heart of hearts you need to get right with Him, can I just ask you to boldly raise your hand right now without anyone looking? Is there anyone in the room? Yeah, I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Yeah, I see the hand. Yep, I see the hand. Is there anyone else? Yeah, you may put your hands down. Is there anyone else? Awesome. So good. Let's just stand to our feet. Raghav, can you come up here and just lead these people into just a sinner's prayer? Raghav and I did young adults in our last church together. And I'm just acutely aware it's some young adults in the room that want to give their hearts to Jesus tonight. And if you are going to pray this prayer next and you haven't raised your hand yet, this is still open for you. Just to receive it by faith and pray with all your heart. Amen.
Shall everyone repeat after me, please? Thank you, Jesus, for tonight. Thank you for this beautiful knock on my heart's door. I just want to take this time to respond to you and say yes to you. Whether it's first time or recommitting, I just want to live my life right with you from here on. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, church.
Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about Fire Church, head to our website, firechurch.com.au. And don't forget to connect with us on social media, on Instagram, fire.church, Facebook, Fire Church, and YouTube, Fire Church TV. Have a blessed week.